This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
First of 10 meetings this season between the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames, and the Flames take it 6-4. They bounce back from a first period which the Oilers dominated to get the win and up their record to 5-5-1. The Oilers' three-game winning streak is over. They are now 6-7 on the season. Thanks for staying up with us. It's 5 after 11 along with Rob Brown. I'm Reed Wilkins. And Rob, we have to start, I think, with the story in goal tonight. And the Oilers were one of the teams pursuing Jacob Markstrom in the offseason. He decided to go with the Calgary Flames, largely because they were offering an extra year on that contract. And I really think this is primarily a goaltending loss for the Oilers. There were a lot of chances at both ends, a total of 10 goals being scored. But at the end of the day, Markstrom made more big saves and Koskinen let in. I mean, I suppose we can go through goal through goal, but you know, all goalies let in ones where you think, well, maybe he should have had it. But at the end of the day, they were maybe four of those. If he stops two, we're going to overtime. And maybe this is 1 point or two instead of none for Edmonton.
Well, as I said to Bob, just as the game ended, if he would have switched goalies during the game, it's probably a different outcome. Markstrom in the first period kept the Flames in it. It should have been 3-0, 4-0, possibly 5-0 after one. That's how much better the Oilers were in the first period in grade A scoring chances. Markstrom made big save after big save. And as I said earlier, that it's not that he's letting the Koskinen let bad goals in tonight. Because there's none that you say, oh, that snuck through him, or that, you know, he should have had that. But there were six goals scored in a game, and the Oilers are guilty of poor defensive lapses again. They gave up breakaways, they gave up 2-on-1s, but at times so did the Flames, and the Flames got the saves that they needed, and that's what a goalie does. He's a great equalizer. When you have a breakdown, when you have a good goaltender, he makes that save that you need at an important time. And this isn't all on Koskinen, but yeah, in this game tonight, Markstrom was markably better. Like it was a big difference in goaltending tonight. I mean, you just had to look at the last 3 minutes of the hockey game, the number of times. The Oilers were down two goals. But if any of those goals go in, any of those shots go in that they got in the last 3 minutes, they still have a chance. Anytime there's time on the clock, whether you have McDavid and Draisaitl, you have a chance. But it was big save after big save, getting in the way. And the confidence you have as a team playing in front of that is huge too. And the Calgary Flames were a confident team because they had Markstrom, and Markstrom gave them the 2 points. The Calgary Flames in the dressing room right now are going to have to go by Markstrom's stall and say, you know what, yeah, we owe you one because you stole 2 points for us tonight.
Well, Robin, and I would actually argue that, I mean, there were a couple of goals specifically that got through Koskinen. The Dubé one-timer, yes, I realize it's on the power play. Yes, I realize it's a one-timer, but he appeared to be over there. And Markstrom stopped plenty of one-timers that the Oilers took on the power play. And the goal in the second period that Backlund scored, okay, sure, it's an odd man rush for Calgary, but he stops it, and then he's looking for it, and he doesn't have it, and it's still loose, and he taps it in. And that's the one thing I noticed tonight. Markstrom always looked in control. Where's the puck? Where's the rebound? Where's my net? And as we've seen with Koskinen, when he's off his game, and I think the last 7 or 8 games, he was better than he was on that season opening 4-game homestand. But we saw it on that season opening 4-game homestand, swimming around, losing his net, losing the puck. And to me, we saw some of those bad things into his game tonight. So,
well, let's be honest. This one, though, Reed, is, I mean, Markstrom should be better than Koskinen. Is he not? Would you not think he would be a better goaltender? I mean,
oh,
what
sure.
We've seen.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's the case right there. The Calgary Flames have a better goaltender stat-wise over the last number of years than the Edmonton Oilers do. So, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised that the Calgary Flames, if in a game where you needed a big save and that team's going to get the win, you shouldn't be surprised that Calgary won the hockey game then, because this, he was sought after. He was the reason, one of the main reasons the Vancouver Canucks had the success they had last year was because Markstrom was so good. And what you're seeing right now too, and with Vancouver, and I watched a lot of their game tonight, they're struggling because when they have breakdowns now, again, the goals that they're letting in, I watched against the Leafs, not a lot, no bad goals, but they're not getting the big save. So Markstrom can really cover up a lot of blemishes in your game. He's a good goaltender, so it's not surprising he was better. And on the other end, I mean, Koskinen, six goals against, it doesn't matter how many opportunities the other team had. Six goals against is too much. It means you didn't make the saves that you needed to make to give your team a chance to win the hockey game.
22 saves for Koskinen, 28 tonight for Markstrom. So Mike Smith's going to be active for the games in Ottawa. So here's the conundrum, though, for the Oilers and for the fans listening tonight, because Koskinen coming into this season was the Oilers' number one goalie. Uh-huh. So the Oilers are not getting Patrick Waugh in his prime back, and they had to ride it out with the backup till the star returned, and they went 6-7, and you're thinking, hey, that's not bad. I mean, I think at this point, I would certainly perceive Mikko Koskinen as a more consistent goalie than Mike Smith. Maybe just having Smith there and Koskinen not having to play every night might help Koskinen when he does start. We'll see. But Smith coming back, I have no idea what to expect. Last year, we saw extended stretches of very, very poor play, like stats that mean you're close to being out of the NHL. And we saw extended stretches of like, wow, this is 29-year-old Mike Smith again. He got pulled in a brief appearance in the playoffs in August. It's been a long time since he played a game. He didn't get any younger in that time. So I have no idea what to expect. I mean, and that's what makes this even more precarious to me. The Oilers are not getting a top 10, top 15, top 20 goaltender coming back. They're getting the guy back who is probably going to be their number two anyway, and they haven't had good enough performances from the number one.
No, you're right. And it is an unknown. It's going to be a surprise. Players nowadays are different than when I played. When a guy aged when I played, he would lose a step, then two steps. Or if a goaltender, the reflexes weren't near as good. Guys are in way better shape. Having said that, I would still imagine a player that is older would, the longer the layoff, the more it would affect an older player than would affect a younger player. And it would certainly, any goaltender that came in right now who hasn't played for almost a year, more or less, it would affect you. So, I don't know what you're going to get with Smith. I don't know what the injury was and how much that would affect him coming back, but the Oilers are a team that still has deficiencies in their game, 5-on-5. They are still prone to making the big mistake, and they are not a good enough team to overcome those mistakes with average to below average goaltending. They're a team that they need their goaltender to be above average. And then they've got enough offensive power with their two stars and their power play to be able to win hockey games. But for them to get average goaltending, and it wasn't average tonight, but for them to get average goaltending, it'd be hard-pressed for them to win hockey games. Because you look around the teams in the National Hockey League, especially in the Canadian division, they've got some pretty good goaltenders in the Canadian division that they've got to overcome. And right now, some of the games that they've won this year, they've done it. They've overcome their mistakes and they've overcome average goaltending. But over the course of the season, you need better goaltending and a better save percentage than they're getting thus far.
All right, the Flames take it 6-4. Let's go back to Calgary, courtesy Mattress Superstore. Give them 5 minutes and they'll give you the best sleep of your life. Take the Sleepology body scan and take the guesswork out of buying a mattress. Here's head coach Dave Tippett.
Dave, after 20 minutes, you guys heavily outshoot your opposition. You're up 2-1. What didn't you see in the final 40 that you saw in the opening period?
Well, I thought we started the second period. We got away from, we were playing a simple direct game in the first period. And second period, we decided we were going to turn a lot of pucks over and ended up playing in our own zone too much and ended up in the back of our net. And we chased it for the rest of the game.
before the three-game win streak, Adam Larson called the season in the first nine games a roller coaster. You guys get on a three-game heater, and now you guys drop one tonight. What does finding that balance and finding this team's identity look like?
Just it's consistency in how we play. If you look at how we play in the first period, you want consistency for 60 minutes through that. But we get we make some mistakes and it ends up in the back of our net, and we start chasing the game. We don't look like as good a team.
Derek Van Dees, Post Media.
Dave, Mikko lets in the first shot of the game, and it looked like he was fighting the puck the rest of the game. Did you see it that way as well, or were you happy with your goaltending tonight?
No, I mean, we're looking for some better play in front of the goalie, and the goalie could stop a couple more.
And just a thought on you guys, really intense that first period. Did you expect that push in the second by the Flames, and you just didn't respond to it as well as you would like?
No, I mean, we knew it was going to be a competitive game all the way through. I don't like the way we played the start of the second period because we got away from some of the things that we were doing well. And so it doesn't matter who you're playing against. If you don't play well, you're going to be chasing it. And that's exactly what we did.
Jason Gregor, TSN 1260.
Dave, you mentioned how you get away from what you're doing well, and it seems that when it rains, it pours for your team. Eighth time this year, two goals in under 2 minutes against. Is that just a focus thing? Like, why is your team, you know, you can play great for a long stretch, but then really kind of fold in, you know, two goals in 2 minutes?
There's a number of things. You need some saves. You need to be smart with the puck. There's been a number of things that come to mind that we have to improve. But there's turning points in a game that come in, and you have to recognize those. And when you don't, bad things happen.
You've talked about the competitiveness and the need to keep guys in the lineup. Kara comes in, and the goal obviously is big for him, but you know, he seemed to win a lot of battles in the ice time he had tonight. What did you think of his performance?
I thought he was solid. He, you know, it's when the game's tight in the first period, he was doing a real good job, and then we started chasing the game before he got less ice time, but he came in, he was a good job on the penalty kill for us, and he came in and played a real competitive game.
Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
Dave, I know that there's a number of things here, and you're not just going to say it's all on your goalie, but you got a goalie that's under 900 save percentage, and he's not giving you a save a lot of nights here. How do you get your goals against down if it doesn't start in net?
It's a combination of both. You got to play better in front of the goalie, and the goalie's got to make a few more saves.
All right, thank you.
Final question, Jim Matheson, Post Media.
A couple of things, Dave. Jesse Puljujärvi tonight was really skating well, and the goal he scored. Just emphasize, maybe he's turned the corner here offensively, and then he's really going to the net with the puck.
Well, what's happened is he's capitalizing on some chances. He was getting some chances before, and they weren't going in, and not just the ones he was shooting, but the stuff he was creating. So it's good to see him. He's getting rewarded for some of the chances he's around. So he played hard tonight. He got a big goal for us. It's too bad we couldn't sustain it.
And Gaetan Haas, is he injured, sick? How come he didn't play?
He's day-to-day with unfit to play.
Thank you. This concludes Dave Tippett's Media Bill.
Okay, that is Dave Tippett as the Oilers fall 6-4 to the Calgary Flames. They're back below 500. Can't get over the hump. 6-7 now on the season. We're going to call a quick
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store. Like now. Go!
Time out. You can reach us at 780-496-0063. Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on 630 Chet. Well, good first period for the Oilers, but then Calgary responds in the second and puts it away in the third. Flames take it 6-4. Whenever Edmonton scores five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. That is presented by Japanese Village Restaurants, now offering takeout. Please visit jvedmonton.ca. For details. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reid Wilkins. Thanks for texting in tonight. You can get us or tuning in tonight. You can call us or text us at 780-496-0063. We have Greg on the line. Hey, Greg, you're on Overtime Open Line. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Amazing what a goalie can do for you, right? If Smith was available tonight, I'm pretty sure Koskinen would have been pulled. I mean, three goals on eight shots isn't bad, right? So That being said, I'm just wondering if you'd rather have Markstrom, like the Oilers went after this year, or Barry, Chiarism, and Cahoon, because before the season, a lot of people were saying that they would rather have the depth and the defensemen and the scoring to shore up their, you know, the forward group. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that are.
I'd take the goalie all the time over those guys. Yeah.
It doesn't even matter who those three guys are. If you have a chance at a top-ranked goaltender, you go with the goalie. Goalie can win and lose a hockey game for you. You already got the stars up front. The thing they're missing and have been missing is a great goaltender, and I believe Markstrom is.
And I think they still would. Cahoon and Turris aren't making a ton of money. I wonder if they could have fit those guys in anyway. Barry, maybe not. But maybe there would have been some other move. But no, the Oilers went after Markstrom, and he picked Calgary. And, one of the themes I've seen people, I'm not going to read every text about the goaltending, everybody, because it's all kind of the same theme. And I think we've touched on a lot of the points there. I mean, look, this is, if the Oilers reach the point where they absolutely need to acquire a number one goaltender, easier said than done, because you got to look at it from the flip side. If you're a team that has a top 15, even top 20 NHL goaltender playing for the Oilers, would you want to trade that guy? If you have a top 10 goaltender, are you going to trade? I mean, that's the hard thing, Rob. That's going to be if we reach a point later in the season where Ken Holland says, "Okay, I like my team, and the goaltending is the only thing holding him back." That's going to be a difficult position to get. I mean, maybe something gives in Vegas. Maybe something gives in Columbus. You know, maybe a team that's doing poorly decides to part with somebody. We'll see. But that's going to be costly. And I know people don't want to hear this. I mean, maybe that's Nuge. Maybe that's the first-round pick. You know, I mean, that's where a discussion point starts if you're that other team, to me.
When's the last time a top goalie was traded? Can you remember?
Who was our last number one goalie that you can remember? Probably Rolison. And would you trade Nuge for a goalie or even Nurse? I wouldn't. Nuge is too valuable for the team, Nurse as well. So what do you got to do? Because the cap space, something's got to give, because we have to get a goalie. If we don't, we're not going to go anywhere, and we're not going to be a contender. So I don't know what Ken Holland can do to rectify the problem that we have.
Well, I don't think there's anything he can do, to be honest. I mean, you're not going to get, as Reed said, a top goalie. Top goalies don't get traded. They just don't. Teams that need a top goalie, like Calgary did, they went out and got one in free agency. But in season, I don't see that happening. And so this is what the Oilers have. I mean, you can go out and take someone's backup. So teams would be willing to trade their backup, but no one's ever going to trade their starter. I mean, you build teams around great goaltenders. So if there's a backup out there that on a team that is falling out of the playoffs, maybe you can go trade him. But if you're a backup on a team falling out of the playoffs, then you're probably not that good a goaltender either.
that's the rub.
So, right? I mean, the Oilers are, to me, I don't see any fixes out there for the Edmonton Oilers. They are going to have to win with what they got. And even harder this year, just with all that, with the COVID rules and the quarantining and stuff like that, just makes it harder. But you're not going to trade for a top goalie. You just aren't, because if the teams are not going to give that up, you're going to have to wait for free agency. And I have no idea right now who's free agent goaltenders next year or this summer. But that's when you get goaltenders. You don't make blockbuster trades of top ranked goaltenders. Don't happen.
Well, I mean, Leonard got traded. Leonard got traded last February 24th.
But he got traded. He was supposed to be going as a 1A. Yeah, he's going to be as a 1A to Vegas with Fleury. But I mean, one other goalies, it just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. A lot of the goalie movement has been free agency recently for the top guys, or they just stay put their entire careers, like Price. And I mean, I guess Lundqvist changed teams, but he's basically played his whole career with the Rangers. So yeah, it's going to be tough. 6-4 the Flames win it tonight. We'll quickly check the other town scoreboard. Not a very busy Saturday because some of the games have been postponed because of COVID. The scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals with daily, weekly, monthly, and rent-to-own options. Head to AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. In a shootout, Anaheim beats San Jose 2-1. Canadians knock off the Senators 2-1. Coyotes win in St. Louis 3-1. Islanders at home get a 4-3 win over the Penguins. Maple Leafs take it to the Canucks again. 5-1 is your final. The Oilers farm team, Bakersfield, losing tonight 4-3 to the San Diego Gulls. Well, what a treat to hear from this gentleman. He doesn't call often, but he makes it count. Frustrated fan is on the line. Hello, Double F. It is very nice to hear from you. It's been far too long.
Yes, it has. I want to send my condolences to you, though, Reed, for what happened in Evansburg there with that fire. Kind of sucks that happened, but my condolences to the little town, because it's a little town, and you probably knew the people who would, or the one lady that had passed away.
Well, I do appreciate that. People have asked me. I didn't know them, but yeah, very, very tragic for my old hometown. Absolutely.
The reason why I was phoning in is that I understand the whole goaltending thing, but if Smith wasn't hurt, we wouldn't be talking about the goaltending. To me, the only two things about watching tonight's game was, how did you get a penalty? And I don't normally comment on the referees. I'm normally one that backs the referees, but how do you get a penalty when you get tripped going in to take a shot on net and get a penalty for goaltender interference when you get tripped up?
Well, the referee obviously missed the trip.
That part doesn't make any sense to me. The Oilers were playing well up until that point. To me, that was one of the turning points. We got back into the game when Puljujarvi scored that beautiful goal. And then he goes and takes a penalty. We were building momentum. And that penalty that he took, I mean, I'm not blaming him for taking the penalty, but that took away the momentum we had. And I think when the Oilers give up as many shots as they have been giving up every game, the goalie's going to end up getting tired because he's probably faced the most rubber in the league this year. Like he's only had one game off. He's played more than Carey Price. He hasn't been able to get the mental break from playing. I know it's early in the season, but still he needs the mental break. And I think the Oilers are gonna just flourish here, because I see more positives in this game tonight than I did negatives. I might be changing my handle from frustrated fan to not frustrated anymore because honestly, I've seen more positives tonight. Like you give Goudreau that kind of breakaway. To me, for Calgary, you give McDavid that same amount of time, he's going to put the puck in the net. I don't care who the goalie is. Like, I mean, you talk about soft goals. There's no way Markstrom should let Nurse score there. That was softer than a baby's butt.
Well, he was all alone in front of the net.
The thing is, though, he had all the time. Like, I could go through, I would say three of the four goals Markstrom let in tonight were soft goals.
See, I disagree. There's no comparison tonight between the two goalies. None. Markstrom was 10 times better than Koskinen was tonight. He's the difference in the hockey game.
All right.
Towards the end of the night, and I agree with you, Rob, that it should have been like 5-1 by the end of the first period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Double F, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. And I guess that's the hope, to sort of reiterate what we were talking about earlier, Rob, that if Smith comes back, maybe as operating as a tandem helps both guys. And last year, at times, it worked. I mean, we do got to be fair. I mean, they had a good season last year, and the goaltending was good enough to have them, you know, headed towards likely finishing second in the division and being in a playoff spot. But yeah, a night like tonight, it was obviously pretty tough. 780-496-0063. Four goals for the Oilers tonight. That means a $400 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous, courtesy James H. Brown and Associates, Serious Injury Lawyers. They're given $100 for every Oilers goal throughout the season. Okay, we have Jackson standing by on the open line as well. Jackson, you're on with Robin Reed. Go ahead, sir.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
So, I'm trying to remain positive because this is a frustrating one. It felt like the Oilers should have gotten at least a point. When you score four goals, you should win. And I know everyone's sitting here griping on goaltending. I understand why. I'm upset about it too. But, I mean, if the defense is giving those types of opportunities to Calgary, you can't, you know, blame everything on the goalie. Yeah, he has to make those stops. Absolutely, he does. But, and he didn't tonight, but you can't just, you know, blame the goalie on everything. And I also find it weird that, like, I don't know, I think maybe Ken Holland is to blame on some of this. I know there was a lot of goalies in available in the offseason. The fact that he didn't get anything, and the only thing he ended up getting was a 40-year-old goalie, is just, I don't know, it seems weird to me. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I think that's, you know, Hall is the GM. You're competing with other GMs. And then when it comes to getting a goaltender for this year and shaking up the tandem, yeah, he was beat by other guys. I mean, Koskinen was coming back. So it's basically whether or not you could find a replacement for Smith. We should touch on some positive storylines because I think we got to give players credit. And Jesse Puljujärvi scored again. And again, a confident, you know, forceful looking goal, Rob.
Yeah, it was a nice goal. It was pretty. And we've never questioned his God-given abilities, his talent. He is big. He is strong. He is fast. He can shoot. Sometimes his understanding of the game lagged behind. And the beginning of the season, they tried giving him a much easier role to allow him to just become a regular NHL player. And struggles on the top line with Cassian forced the coach's hand, moved him up. He looked out of place at times when he first started playing with Connor, but he stuck with the simple things. He got pucks in deep. He went to the net. He battled hard. He competed harder. And that's noticeable by the coaching staff, and it's noticeable by your teammates. And now he's gained a little bit of confidence. The puck went in from last game, and you could see the big weight lifted off his shoulders. And tonight, the goal that he scored, that was a wonderful play. He used his speed and his strength. He gives the puck to Connor and then drives the net. And when he's going full speed, it's hard to contain him because he's bigger and stronger than most of the players he's going against, and he's got speed to burn. And then we saw with the goal the other night, he's got nice hands in front. And that was a beautiful goal. Another play late in the game where he and Leon did the same thing on the opposite side. So he's gaining confidence, and that's huge. And you talked about it at the beginning of the season that if Puljujärvi becomes just a regular NHL player, that was going to be a bonus for the Oilers because they got him for nothing. And he's done more than that thus far. So I Bob said that tonight he looked like a fourth pick overall. And I agree. This might have been the best that I've seen him play and seeing the talent level that he possesses. So it was a good game. And again, another good stepping stone, hopefully towards not just a good couple games, but a good month, and then work that into a good year.
That's our adjustment of the game for Alberta's chiropractors. If it hurts, see a chiropractor. Visit albertachiro.com/hockey. The Oilers goal scorers tonight. Kara gets his first. McDavid gets his ninth. Puljujärvi his third. Nurse his fourth. But Calgary wins it 6-4. Oh, my goodness. We got K-Jam on the line. Good evening, K-Jam. Thanks for staying up and giving us a call. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm tired, so I thought it was worth it. Thanks for having me on. Hey, you know, I wanted to talk about a couple different things. The first one, though, with the goaltender situation, this was the bet that the Oilers made when they signed Koskinen, and I think that what Koskinen has shown us now is that he's a bona fide 1B. Like, he can play, you know, 7, 8, 9 games a month, 8 games a month, sort of in that wheelhouse. And that puts him at like a 40 game a year, half a schedule on an 82 game season. That's not And I think that's better than most backups, but that's not a starter. And then another problem that comes with Mikko, though, is if you were to actually play him as a backup, I think that he needs to be in a bit of a groove. I think that that's his groove, maybe from years of KHL schedule, European schedule. That really seems to be where he's comfortable with his workload. And so, you know, you take a look at tandem options. You know, if you were to go and you were to have gotten Crawford, well, I mean, Crawford, he's not playing anymore. You know, I don't think Thomas Greiss is having a great season. There are a lot of other options out there that Ken Holland could have signed that may have been more expensive, or may have performed, you know, not a whole lot better than what we're seeing out of Koskinen. And it's sort of unlucky that Smith is hurt. But it kind of seems like they complement each other in that, like, Smith was a bona fide starter for a long time, and he does certain things with his play that really complement this Oilers squad when he executes it well. And he's another guy who, just because of age, you probably don't want in the net all the time. So, it's sort of an unlucky situation that we're in here, but, I mean, there are other things that could have been just as bad. So, I mean, it's the goaltending thing isn't even really why I was calling. It's sort of how my thoughts evolved listening to, you know, frustrated fan and stuff. I think that my issue here is really I'm wondering what we can do with the rest of our roster that we have. We have a lot of players moving in and out, and I think that the question that the Oilers need to answer now is who are you going to try to solidify as your main group for starting on defense and your main group for forwards? I think that it's a wise idea to be swapping players in and out because of fatigue and stuff over the season with the condensed schedule. But I think that Jones should be playing personally, and I think that the question for the other left side D is really is it Cuckoo or is it Legason? And you know, putting Russell in there with injuries or you know with fatigue, and on the right side is trying to figure out, well, what are you going to do when Bear is healthy? Who's coming out? Because I mean, I think that there's an obvious answer there, but it's also not obvious when you consider things like penalty kill and.
Is it Larson?
Yeah, and I think it's Larson. But then you take a look at the right side defenders and who's going to play the PK. You know, it's not Barry. Bear is so maybe Bouchard. I think that that's a little over his head for where you're at right now. So I think that that's kind of the issue. You've got three great puck movers over there, and you don't have anybody that can play that special team role, that important special team role. So I think that that's the real conundrum on the right side. And on the left side, Jones needs to continue to develop. I think that he's the most promising lefty that we have other than Nurse. And for me, it's just, you know, you're picking between Cuckoo and Legason, and they've both shown pretty well throughout the season as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Thanks, KJ. Yeah, I think you hit on some good things that the coaches are considering, and I think we should, to talk positives, Rob, as the Oilers lose 6-4 to the Flames. Again, I like what I saw from Evan Bouchard. He does take a minus tonight. Didn't get a point, but he has three shots on goal, three other shot attempts that didn't wind up getting through to the goalie. He was out late in the game when the Oilers are desperate to let a goal. I thought he made some nice passes through the neutral zone. I want to continue to see Bouchard play. I mean, he helps the Oilers get the puck up the ice and do positive things in the offensive end. Yes, as a younger player, he's going to have to learn defending, but I would like to see him remain in the lineup.
Well, there's going to be decisions that have to be made because when Bear comes back, Bear's going back up in the first pairing, and all of a sudden you got on your right side Bear, Russell, and Larson. Bear, Larson, and Barry on your right side. That's your problem. Barry is running your power play, and as the caller just talked about, Larson plays on your PK, and Bear's in your first pairing. So do you flip-flop? Do you go with seven? Does one of the righties play on the left side? It's a tough call for the coaching staff, what they're going to do. It'd be much easier if they had a lefty because the lefties are the side that the struggles, I think, are more on. There's probably an easier way to step in on the left side for the Oilers and play defense than on the right side. But having said that, I thought Bouchard did look good. He does make smart plays. He moves the puck well. When you're a team that is you're trying to build around a couple superstars and you're trying to be a puck control hockey club, then you certainly want guys that can move the puck. You want guys that are going to make the stick-to-stick pass, that are going to see the plays before they develop, so they know where the puck needs to go instead of the guys that are flipping it off the glass and out. So tonight was his first real test, and I thought he was good. And I would not be surprised if the Oilers, for a little while, go with the 7D and 11 forwards and flip-flop or double-shift Connor and Leon, and this will allow you to play your four righties in the lineup and then just play guys in specific positions where Barry gets more power play time and Larson gets more PK time, and try to find places and roles for each guy to play so that you can get Bouchard in the lineup, because the only way you're going to get better is if you're playing in the games and learning that way. And I thought through the two games we've seen, he has been very good.
All right, Calgary takes it 6-4. We're going to go to Jim on the open line. Jim, you're going to be our Finish the Play contestant tonight, so I can tell you already have a Hungry Herd premium sampler box. Hungry Herd, top quality meats delivered right to your door at everyday low prices. Alberta owned and operated. But before we get to that, give us your thought.
The team should have been better. I mean, they had 3 days off. They should have been a little stronger, I think. The whole team, I mean. And the other team, they played 4 games in 6 days. So I think they were probably a bit more tired than Edmonton. You know.
Yeah, I don't know how, much fatigue or non-fatigue factored into this game tonight. But, yeah, times throughout the season, I think the schedule will affect the energy level of teams. Okay, we got our Finish the Play for you tonight, Jim. Angie, what have you cooked up?
Puljujärvi streaks in, shot, save! And Markstrom able to cover with no rebound.
Okay, Jesse Puljujärvi doing pretty good this year. Jim, our question for you is, in the first half of this season, before he came and rejoined the Edmonton Oilers, in what country was he playing?
He was playing the KHL.
Do you want to try that again? I'll give you one more guess.
Russia?
If you were going to guess Finland, I think you'd have a better opportunity of winning.
England?
Finland?
Oh, Finland? Okay.
Okay. Well, Rob, you got him to say it, so you leave me no choice. I wasn't going to be generous tonight, quite frankly. Jim, stay on the line. You're going into the grand prize draw for a $1,000 gift certificate to Visions Electronics, courtesy PF Custom Countertops. Support local with a PF renovation. Get started at pfcustomcountertops.com. You're far too kind, Rob Brown. You got to be old and crusty like me sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Maybe 20 or 30 games into the season, then maybe I'll be there. But right now, I'm still happy. I'm still glass half full.
All right, 6-4, the Flames win it. A couple more calls to get to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We'll also hear from Darnell Nurse. We're in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center, Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on 630 Chet. All right, the Flames beat the Oilers 6-4, first of 10 meetings this season between the two teams. The Oilers dominated the first period, outshooting Calgary 17-3. They had a 2-1 lead. The Flames turned the tables in the second period, outshot the Oilers 16-5 and scored twice. They got goals a minute 54 apart. In 13 games this season, on 8 occasions have the Oilers allowed goals less than 2 minutes apart. Edmonton fought back in the third. They tied it early on a goal by Puljujärvi, but then Calgary got a couple of relatively quick ones and went on to win it 6-4. So the Oilers dropped to 6-7 on the season. We have John on the open line. John, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, sorry to keep the theme going, but I'm calling about goaltending. More big picture than the game tonight, because even before the game started, Koskinen was below 900. I mean, the facts are, as long as he's our number one goalie, there's pretty low chance we're going to be competing for a cup. And I just want to bring it back 2 years ago to how we got into this mess. Remember 2 years ago when Bob Nicholson lets Peter Chiarelli sign Koskinen to a three-year, $4.5 million deal and then cans the GM 2 days later?
I do remember that.
I know you guys do. My point is, it was a terrible idea, or like it was just beyond stupid. You know you're about to make a regime change. You don't think the new GM might want to pick his own goalie for the future, and you're signing a guy who's like a rookie in his 30s for $4.5 million. Think if we didn't do that, we would have the cap space to maybe have outbid Calgary for Markstrom. You know?
Yep. That's true. Well, I mean, Koskinen.
Go ahead.
Koskinen was a huge risk even for the year he was brought in before he got that contract.
Yeah,
I mean, I know he was a second-round pick, but he'd never played in the NHL. So, regardless of what he got, it was a risk.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when they brought him in, yeah, okay, 1 year, two and a half, it is what it is. But they overpaid him and too much term, too much cap. That you couldn't give that contract away the day it was signed to anybody. And I guess my point is, like, Bob Nicholson's a guy who supposedly has a ton of respect in the industry. You know, he ran Hockey Canada where he has the pick of the litter for all these years. And honestly, he's proven himself incompetent at taking over the leadership of this organization. The moves that he's made have set us back years by letting Chiarelli cripple us and keeping us in a cap hell with moves like that make absolutely no sense. Tons of people knew it the day it happened. Everybody's thinking, this makes no sense. Why would you trust the GM you're about to fire and his scouting staff who you're about to get rid of at the end of the year to make a call on your goaltending for the next 3 years?
Yeah, appreciate it.
At that time, Bob Nicholson came out and said that they, as a group, decided on that. They said it wasn't just Chiarelli. It was their whole group decided that that was the right play.
Well, I think that's the caller's point, though. That Nicholson was involved in it.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think he was saying, though, at first that he allowed Chiarelli to do it. I think Bob Nicholson and the rest of the group felt it was a good move. It wasn't they said, okay, Chiarelli, we're going to let you do what you want, and then I'm going to fire you. They, as a group, felt it was the right move. So, I mean, you can blame them for that. But I don't think they just allowed Chiarelli to make this long-term signing without their say so.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how it was worded at the time, but the timing was odd that decision
would
be
made. Oh, absolutely it was.
And then the GM would, I think it was 3 or 4 days later, the GM would be fired. So you commit to the goaltender that the GM brought in, let him extend that goaltender, and then the GM's not around to deal with that goaltender being on the roster. That is a totally relevant point. And I mean, Koskinen is. I mean, look, I don't want to totally crap all over him because I do think he can play in the NHL. I mean, KJam called him a 1B or whatever. Like, I think he could be a good backup that plays two out of every five games. And maybe sometimes if he's hot, plays, you know, six out of nine if he's doing well. But then he needs to sit for a while. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. And yes, the Oilers made mistakes. Yes, they have issues defensively. But, I mean, Calgary did tonight, too, in large stretches of the game.
Outside of the Montreal Canadiens, every team has got deficiencies on their back end and make big mistakes. We watched it tonight. The Oilers got a number of – they got breakaways. They got two-on-ones. They had odd man breaks. The Calgary Flames had breakdowns in their own zone. We watched it against Ottawa. They did. Vancouver Canucks, I watched them today. It was a free-for-all, the number of opportunities the Leafs had. All teams have breakdowns. It's up to the goaltender to sometimes bail your teammates out. And tonight, Markstrom a number of times did for the Calgary Flames. Unfortunately for the Oilers, Koskinen wasn't able to bail them out. Not all bad goals, but there are saves that you have to make at times to be a good goaltender. A sub 900 goals against average in the National Hockey League. I mean, the Oilers are fortunate to be where they are in the standings with the goaltending stats they have through 12 or 13 games. I mean, that is outside a playoff picture type of stats for their starting goaltender.
All right, we have Steve on the open line as well. Steve, go ahead, sir.
Sure,
good show tonight. Listen, I'm going to come at it from a different perspective, okay? We've known for years we've had questionable goaltending, so let's be thankful, man. Are you kidding me? 10 goals in one night, and we got 9 more contests coming up with Calgary. I'm looking forward to it. Are you kidding? This is fantastic hockey. I'm thankful we got the NHL even on the television this year. And we've had terrible goaltending for years. So listen, I think the game tonight was fantastic, man. 10 goals in one night, and you can't just complain all the time. I mean, this is good hockey, and it's good for the league. I'll let you guys go. Have a good one.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think I'm glad Steve did say that, because sometimes we got to remind ourselves that we weren't sure we're going to have a season. There's a lot of bad things happening in the world, and just watching sports can be a bit of an escape. And he does make a good point, Rob, because when it was 5-3 Flames, I was thinking, oh man, that's probably it. And then Nurse scores, and I was like, oh wait, game on. Who knows what's going to happen? Reed, so there were wild swings.
When it went to 6-4, I didn't think the game was out of hand, in all honesty. I mean, the Oilers were one shot away from turning it into a game again. The entertainment value of the game tonight was huge. It was exciting to watch. I mean, both teams have got star players that are fun to watch. We're nitpicking the parts of the game that the Oilers were not good at, and defensively and goaltending, they were there, but... If you want to go glass half full, I mean, the Oilers and the Canadian division has been relatively safe from COVID over the first 12 games of the year. You look at how many games were canceled tonight, 3 or 4, wasn't it, down in the United States?
Well, yeah, and I know that you had 6 games on a Saturday. It's usually way more, yeah.
Yeah, and John Shannon was talking about the fact earlier when you were chatting with him that some of the U.S. divisions – I mean, there's a possibility they might not play a full season. They might have to shorten their year because of players being put into the protocols. I mean, I saw, New Jersey the other day. It seemed like they had 13 or 14 players.
I think it got up to 17 at one point.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at a positive, the Oilers have played every game. The Canadian division has not had to cancel anything. But when you're a diehard fan and you live and breathe for the Oilers, when the team loses, you look to find out where the mistakes were, what the deficiencies in the game are. And goaltending was a question mark before the season. And I think through almost a quarter of the season, it's still a question mark.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's almost that much of the season done. That's a really good point. Okay, hey, I'm glad this gentleman has called in. He often sends me entertaining, smile-inducing notes on the text line. We have Colton at 780-496-0063. Colton, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, I have a question for you guys. Jesse Puljujärvi, he looks like a changed man. Like, what does that 1 year in Finland do for him that made him look like such a beast? Like, he's going to turn into a monster in 2 years, like the way he's playing. Like, me and my brother-in-law are watching him tonight, and like we're thinking, wow, like 2-3 more years, this guy's going to be like a tank, like unstoppable. And then, yeah, and then I have one more kind of crazy, wacky question. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe my eyesight is going out of whack. But is it me? Like, he's still an unreal player, like world-class player. Is it just me, and I feel bad to say it because I'm the same age as him and a month apart, is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins losing a step, like a foot speed? It's up to you now, guys.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think Puljujärvi in Finland was – I think he realized the things that he had to learn to – or the things that he had to improve on to do better in the North American game. And he talked about body positioning and engaging in battles and playing hard on the puck and all that kind of stuff. And I think he was probably also confronted with, where do I want to play? You know, if I don't take advantage of this, maybe I never go back to the NHL and I lose an opportunity to get to play in the best league in the world. So I think he, you know, embraced a second chance here, and he's made the most of it. Geez, as for Nuge losing a step, I don't know. Would you say that, Rob?
I don't think so, no. I think that, I mean, what's his stats for the season? I think he's got off to not a bad start to the year, isn't it? I haven't even looked at stats in a while.
Got an assist tonight, so he's at, what is he at now? He's at 11 points in 13 games.
So that's on pace for, probably would be on pace for his best year ever, or close to it, because I think he's had, 60 points is his best every year, 60 around there?
Yep, I think 62.
So, I mean, he's still on pace for his best year ever. So, no, I don't think he's lost a step.
He had 69 points a couple of years ago, 69.
Okay. So right around his best year. So, no, I think he is what he is. I think he's a good complementary player that will play with either Connor or Leon, and he helps make them better. But, he's been fine. I think there's some nights you want more from him. And other nights you're like, oh, there's Ryan. He's back.
6-4, the Flames take it. We're in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center, Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Before we get to Louie at 780-496-0063, back to Calgary, courtesy Mattress Superstore. Here's Darnell Nurse.
Them pretty hard in that first period. It was just a matter of they needed more than a 2-1 lead going into the second.
Yeah, they pushed back there in the second, and our response wasn't good enough, and then they got the upper hand, and then we're chasing a little bit the rest of the game. So we had a good start, but you gotta carry that into the second and third and find a way to put the nail in it.
And I guess, what did you see defensively on their end? They got 6 goals today. It was just a matter of positioning, or what did you see that you guys need to be better at defensively?
Yeah, it was probably a few too many chances right in the slot, and that's on us to clean up. We can't be leaving our goalie out to dry like that in front of our net. So that's for us to clean up.
Mark Spector, Sportsnet.
This is another one. You score 4 tonight, and it's not enough. You guys are, there's no doubt about your offense, but it's becoming clear you're having a hard time keeping the puck out of your net, whether it's PK or 5-on-5. Where do you think it's the problem lies, Darnell? Where do you begin fixing this?
Get 6 goals scored on you. There's a few things you need to clean up. So we know we need to be better in our own zone. And, support each other in the middle of the ice, and to take care of that, we know we have enough offense. So,
thank you,
Jim Matheson, Post Media.
Darnell, this is the 8th time this year the Oilers have given up 2 goals in 2 minutes. So that seems to be a bit of a problem too. The response when the opposing team scores 1, they get another quick one on you, and they turn a lead into a deficit. Is that something that you're aware of, or do you just have to buckle down a little bit more when a team scores 1?
It's the first time I've ever heard that. For us, I mean, anytime you give up 1, your goal has got to be to get the next one or find a way to get some momentum. Giving up 2 goals in that tight of a time frame is never good, and that's how teams get the momentum and start to roll on you.
All right, that's Darnell Nurse, who got his 4th goal of the season tonight. His final stats, he had that goal, -1, played 25-52, 3 shots on goal. Some notes here for the Oilers. McDavid played 28-16. Draisaitl played 27-03. They basically didn't leave the ice in the last 5.5 minutes or so. McDavid with 2 points, so he keeps his streak going to 9 games. Draisaitl had a point. He keeps his streak going to 9 games as well. Slater Cuckoo, the low man, when it came to the ice time, he only played 5-16 tonight. William Lagesson played 9-28. Zach Cassian, amongst the forwards, 9-52. And Jujhar Khaira played the least with the forwards. He came in at 8-35. Shots on goal, it was Puljujarvi with 4, Nugent Hopkins with 4. The Oilers in shots. The Oilers 51% in the faceoff circle, again, largely because of Leon Draisaitl going 18 out of 27 for 67%. So, as you can guess, the other guys were not as good as Leon. It's often if they're above or below 50, depends on how well Leon does in the faceoff circle.
You know what's funny too, Reed, is I was a few games ago when a lot of callers called in and wondering why Tippett didn't call a timeout late in the game and leave Leon and Connor on. He said, well, it would have been, a minute and a half or a minute 40 they would have had to play to the end. Well, they played 5.5 minutes to end the game, and they still look pretty fresh at the end as they were all over the Flames tonight. So I think it's now safe to say that they can call a timeout and leave those guys out at any time, because they have it is amazing. Honestly, it is amazing that they can play over 5 minutes in a shift there at the end of a game and continue to dominate at that point. The fatigue doesn't seem to affect either Leon or Connor. It's I've never seen athletes like that, where they can continue at that high a level. And it does. It's almost like it's like when you played video games. You have the one guy that's fast. He's fast the whole game. It doesn't matter. You can play him the whole time. And that's what these two are like. They don't tire. It's nice having the bat in your back pocket as a coaching staff. Say, all right, you know what? We're going to play him 29 minutes tonight. It won't really affect them as the game goes on.
Oilers lose 6-4 to the Flames. We have Louis standing by. Good morning, Louis. How are you doing? Go ahead.
Good. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Just wanted to say, every game that I've seen, win or lose, I've been pretty impressed with three early plays. He's kind of all over the ice and playing well, and I think Connor likes playing with him. The other thing, I'm not going to beat a dead horse with the goaltending. The one thing I wanted to kind of see what you guys thought of is Cassian. Maybe he needs to get into a tilt or do something, but I've seen that he's hardly throwing any body checks. He doesn't seem involved, not just in this game, but it seems like the start of this year he's had a little trouble getting going. Just wanted your guys' thoughts.
Well, I think you're
that's
right.
A good point. Yeah, that's an absolute great point. The what made Cassian effective was he played right on the edge. And when you were playing against him, you always had to know where he was on the ice because there's a little bit of fear, because he would run through you. And we haven't seen that out of him over the last, well, I guess last half of last year and then the first part of this year. He lost his spot on the first line, which, I mean, there was a lot of speculation before the year went who was going to play with who, but I think that was probably the safest best bet that was Cassian was going to start with Connor McDavid. And he wasn't the same player that they needed him to be there. And to give up that spot, I mean, careers are made by playing with guys that good. I know. I've been there. So, yeah, he is a guy that can change the game in a shift, and not with an end-to-end rush, but with a physical shift, with a frustrating shift for the opposition, with a forecheck, with a little bit of nastiness. And we haven't seen that near consistently enough this season. And that goes, which is more obvious, or you notice it more because it's a carryover from last year's play-in series where he did not have a strong play-in series against the Blackhawks. So, yeah, I 100% agree that they need more out of Zach Cassian. This team is much more effective when Zach Cassian plays with edge.
6-4, Calgary takes it tonight. They get back to 500, 5-5-1. The Oilers are 6-7. We have Amet on the line. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly. Is it Amet?
Yeah, that's right. That's perfect.
Oh, okay, cool. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, guys. I always enjoy listening to you. I also won't beat the goaltending to death. Just a couple things. One, of course, a lot of talk around the depth scoring around the team. The third line, kind of want to know how much more rope you'd give to Turris before putting Haas on that third line as a third line center. And then just a two-part McDavid question. When he went into the boards a little hard there with his knee, it seemed like the rest of the game he wasn't himself. I mean, I've watched McDavid every single game. That explosive. I just didn't found he was a little tentative throughout the game after going into the boards. And then the second thing is the Giordano play. Looking at that replay closer, it looks like Giordano hacked his stick at his skate. He went down there. What are your thoughts on the play?
Okay, a few things there. First of all, I think, yeah, I mean, Haas is pushing. Something's wrong with him. So I don't know if it's a COVID situation or something else happened, but he's unfit to play. Now the last game when Turris didn't play a lot, he also had to go to the dressing room for part of the game because of an issue. But I think, I don't know, Rob, I don't know if Haas is going to totally supplant Turris, but I think Haas has done enough when he's played that if to me, if now Gaetan Haas plays, he's not obviously the fourth line center. If he's having a better game, I think he would get more ice time than Turris.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree with you. I think that with the way that the season's going and the way that Turris has been given an opportunity, that in a game, if Haas is playing like he did the last time we saw him, that he will get more ice time. Dave Tippett is going to play guys based on what they're giving him each night. And Turris, I don't think he has given the Oilers what they were expecting yet. I don't think we've seen that. As for McDavid, as for him being tentative, I didn't see that. I can't really tell because we're not in Calgary. When you sit up top in the stands, it's much easier to follow a player, and you can notice things like that. Watching on TV, I can't notice if a guy's favoring something. To me, he looked fast. They kept showing on TV every once in a while. They would show how fast he was going each shift. And it was speeds that no one else in the National Hockey League can reach. So to me, he looked healthy. He looked fine. As for the trip or when he went into the goaltender, that is, it's a hockey play where he's beat a guy and two guys are trying to stop him from getting the net. It should have been a trip and the Oilers should have had a 5-on-3. The refs missed it because the one thing that McDavid does is he goes really fast and sometimes it's hard to catch those things. It was a missed call by the referee, but I don't think there's any intent on either player. It's just they were beaten. They were trying to stop the best player in the world from getting a goal-scoring chance.
All right. 6-4, the Flames win it. You can get more on globalnews.ca, 630ched.com. Oh, Rob, what's your Super Bowl pick?
Well, I'm in a football pool, Reed. We all threw some money in, and we had a draft. And in the draft, I drafted the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I am already a winner, but I'm going Chiefs. I'm a Kansas City Chief fan now, so I'm cheering for the Chiefs.
I need to score.
I'm going to go with 38 to 28.
Okay. I'm cheering for the Chiefs, but I'm picking Tampa Bay 25-23. Something unusual is going to happen and help Brady.
I can't cheer against Rob, your team. You can't do that.
I separate it. I'm making a pick. It's not the team I'm cheering for. I know that bothers you, but that's how
it bothers me a lot. Emotionally, I cannot do that. It's just too much. I'm like, I got to cheer for the team. I actually was I had a bet with a guy and I can't remember the team, but I was cheering. Oh, I had Tampa. And I was cheering for Green Bay to beat my team because Green Bay is my team. And I was cheering against the guys that I had money on. So you got to cheer for your team, Reed.
Enjoy the game, buddy.
You too. Take care, bud.
All right. And we are back at it on Monday. That's our next game broadcast, 3:30 for the Faceoff Show. The game will start at 5, Oilers at Senators. Of course, Bob Stauffer will have Oilers Now from noon to 2 on Monday. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer, and to Angie Quinnell. She's our studio producer back at 6:30. Chet, it's 12 after midnight. Either go to bed or, I don't know, maybe throw in a VHS copy of Police Academy. Maybe that's something to do on a Saturday night. I don't know. We've been in the Friesen Brothers broadcast booth, Heartland Ford, Overtime Open Line. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Take care.
6:30 Chet, Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Chet.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.